I want to draw your attention in this psalm that we read, the last verse, verse 9. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. God's people need prayer. That's the subject today. God's people need prayed for. God's people are needy. And David here, as the Lord's anointed, he prays for the congregation of God's people. It is a prayer of the shepherd king. It's a good prayer. It's a very wise prayer. It is a very sensible intercession. And there are two main points that I should wish to draw from the text and leave with you. The first is, what you are to the Lord. What his people are to him. And then secondly, what you need from the Lord. This verse highlights the things that God's people need. So first of all then, what you are to the Lord. What is the church to God? What are his saints to him? Well, the text tells us, first of all, that they are his people. Save thy people. Now, David is very careful in his wording. He doesn't say, just save the people. He doesn't just say, save the saints. But he wants to remind the Lord of his relationship to them. And so he says, Lord, they're your people. Save your people. He doesn't even say, my people. He's a king. He's a shepherd himself. In a sense, he is ruling over the people. And he could say, Lord, save my people. But that's not an argument with the Lord. He wants to get to the Lord's heart. And so he says, Lord, they're your people. They're the people of God. And so, Lord, you're their king. You are the one who art their shepherd. Save them. And so you see here what David is doing. He's getting to God's heart. He's taking hold of the Lord's love. He's touching the Lord's soft spot. And his soft spot is his people. Thy people, Lord. Save thy people. If there was a girl in danger, and I said to a man who was able to save her, look, save that girl, she's in danger. I am sure that he would be gracious and there would be a gracious response. But if that girl was that man's daughter, and I said, man, there's your daughter, she needs saved, I would think there would be an even more emotionally quick response. And that's what David's doing with the Lord. Lord, save your people. They're in danger. And so the Lord loves his people. And he will save them. And David knows this. And you should know this too, child of God. That he has a heart for you. That you belong to the Lord. And that prayers for you, and your prayers for your brethren and sisters touch God. It touches heart. The minister prays for you. And others pray for you. The session prays for you. And you should thank God for those prayers. Because they touch God's heart. And God hears those prayers. For the simple reason. You belong to him. You're his people. So his people are near to him. And you remember how even the Lord Jesus got that name. Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. It's a very good argument that David is using. It takes in the name of the Savior. The Bible says he brought forth his people with joy. They delight him. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people. They're precious to him. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. But David also adds, not content to just say, thy people. He also adds, and thine inheritance. Bless thine inheritance. And this is another argument. Now, an inheritance, we know what an inheritance is. It's something that we receive as our portion. It becomes our possession. And usually it becomes our possession and our portion when someone dies. So an inheritance is valuable in itself, but it's also valuable and in the way that it comes to us. Usually through the death of some dear loved one who loved us and who left us that inheritance. And Christ has died. He has died for his people. He has bought them with his blood, and they are his possession, his inheritance, his portion. Imagine that the Lord has a portion, and he reckons you, the saints that he has bought with his blood, he reckons you that portion. And you are his portion that he has redeemed and delivered you from the kingdom of darkness. And you are near and dear unto him. Never forget this, child of God. You're precious to the Lord. The Lord's portion is his people, the Bible says. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. You are his inheritance. Engraved your names are on his hands, written they are upon his heart, and you're precious to him. And you should know this today, and you should consider this and reflect upon this. And he hears prayer for you, because you are his inheritance. The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake, the Bible says, his inheritance. David also reminds the Lord that his people, his inheritance, are his flock. Feed them also, he adds. Now, implied in this word feed is the idea of shepherding. The word means to rule or to shepherd. It is a word from the shepherd's vocabulary. And David is reflecting that the Lord is their shepherd. And so he is reminding the Lord, by implication, they're your sheep, Lord. The people of God are your flock. You are a good shepherd. You care for your sheep. And so it is true. David knows this. He knows that if he just brings the people of God before the Lord as his flock, he'll have a heart for them. The shepherd's heart will be stirred, and he will hear prayer that is raised for them. And you are his flock. Don't you sometimes sing, know ye the Lord, that he is God. Us for himself he made. We are his people, and the sheep within his pasture fed. Does the Lord Jesus care for you? Yes, of course. Does the Lord Jesus hear prayer for you? And when you pray for your brethren and sisters, does the Lord Jesus hear those prayers? Yes, of course he does. Because his people have this marvelous relationship with him. How could he not care for his people? How could he not hear prayer for his inheritance? How could he not answer all the hearty petitions for his flock? He hears prayer, and this relationship that he has ensures it. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, that woman may forget, the Bible says, but the Lord says, I will not forget thee. How could your heavenly Father disregard prayer for your needs? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I will spur them, he says, as a man spurreth his own son that serveth him. And so if you, being evil, the Lord Jesus taught us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father? There's this relationship, you see. How much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so, brethren and sisters, it is profitable to pray for one another. It is profitable to pray for the congregation. It is profitable to pray for the saints and for your minister and for your elders. And for God's people that you know to be in need, it is profitable. And we should pray for one another. Doesn't the Bible tell us this? Yes, confess your faults to one another as well, for we have many. But it also says, and pray for one another. And so what God's people are to him. But then secondly, what you need from the Lord. You are his people. You are his inheritance. You are his flock. But you are poor and needy. Now, I know that you have a goodly heritage. You as a congregation here in Bethany, 45 years in the building on this ground, and how blessed they have been to you, how the Word of God has been challenging so often. You're blessed, and you have great things. But still, at the end of the day, you're poor and needy. And you need the Lord, and we're weak and frail, and we're vulnerable sheep in God's flock. The psalmist who prayed this prayer on another occasion said, I am poor and needy. And it's true. And all God's people are that. We all know in our own souls that without the Lord, we can do nothing. It is true that some of God's people are more needy at present than others. That is true. There are variations and degrees of need. And at certain times, we ourselves are more needy than at other times. But we're always needy. We're always having to lift up our hands unto God and ask for his grace and mercy. David knows this. He knows the people of God are needy, and so this is why he prays this. And what is better? Not only does David pray this, but we may view this as a messianic psalm, and the Lord Jesus Christ prays this for his people, for he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we could well compare this text with John chapter 17. But in all our need, which the Lord knows, and which the shepherd King David knows, in all our need, God blesses us with a place where we can come to bring that need to him. And so we must go to the throne of grace. We can go there boldly that we may obtain help and mercy and get the grace in the time of need. Therefore, go there, child of God, in your need. Pray this prayer. Go there for your congregation. Pray for one another with words like this, and God shall hear. Ask, and it shall be given you. Now, what things do the poor, needy people of God need? Well, this wise intercessor, David, he identifies four things. You'll observe four things in the text. Save thy people, bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. First of all, God's people need saved. This is the first thing. This is the top of the list. Save thy people. Now David often prayed this for himself. He often found himself in situations where he said, Lord, save me. Bow down thine ear to me, Lord. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock and house of defense to save me. He often prayed, not only save me, but sometimes save us, in the plural. Stir up thy strength, O Lord, and come and save us. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us. Save us. Purge away our sins for thy name's sake. And on occasion, he said, thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Save your people. Give them deliverances every time that they call upon thee when they are in straits. Now, of course, God's people have already got God's salvation and are saved. Saved from the kingdom of darkness. Saved from the wrath to come. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But we are still in the world. And we still are in the body. And we still are in hostile terrain. And we still have sinful hearts. And we still fall and fail. And there's sin still. And there's Satan still. And there's the flesh still. And you're going to find yourself, even as a Christian, in dangerous and difficult situations. In dangerous places. And there are dangers to your soul. Dangers to your life. Dangers to your testimony. Dangers even to your congregation. Always dangers. Dangers to your humble walk with God. Dangers to your fellowship with him. There's always the attack. There are always the snares of Satan and the temptations of the wicked one. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. It is true. The world desires to pull you down. There are people who want to see you sin and do wrong, who would cause you to sin if they could. The Christian's warfare is real. And God's people are still battling. Even old habits that seem dead can revive. And backsliding is not a rare thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, it seems very common today. We're not crying enough for deliverance for God's people. We have to daily pray, Lord, save us. Save us from our sins. Save us from the evil one. Save us from his devices. Did not the Lord Jesus include this petition in that model prayer which he left to us as one to daily pray? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There it is, the very same petition. Save us. Save thy people. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray it. A saved people still have to pray, save us. In some places, God's people are terribly persecuted. The powers that be are arrayed against the righteous. Militant Islam, communism, and increasingly secular states are brutal against the saints, the inheritance of God. And we have to pray for saints that find themselves in that difficult situation We have to pray, Lord, save them. Save thy poor, persecuted people. Deliver them from the tyrants that rule over them. Save them. Yes, God's persecuted people need saved. Sometimes the troubles and distresses of life are overwhelming. The waters of trouble rise up upon us so often, and we feel overwhelmed. At times, they seem to pour into our soul, and our spiritual life is threatened, in danger of becoming bitter, in danger of becoming hard and callous, as the waters pour into our spiritual life, into our soul. And at such times we need to pray, Lord, save thy people. The waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. The proud waters had gone over our soul. Not just over the body, but entering into the very soul. Save me, O God, as the psalmist said on another occasion. Save me, for the waters are come in. They're come in, Lord. They've come into my soul. They're drowning the spiritual life. They're drowning the kindness. They're drowning the sense of forgiveness that I must give on to even my enemies. Save me. Deliver me from these overwhelming waters that seem to pour into my soul. And there are Christians who are in deep waters today. And they need prayer. And no saint should ever have to say or to feel, no man cared for my soul. No, pray for one another. Pray, just pray for the saint in distress. David said, I sink in deep water where there's no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Deliver me out of the mire. And let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. And out of the deep waters, let them not overflow me. Sometimes we need delivered from ourselves. Sadly, sometimes we ourselves are our greatest enemy. And we have to pray, Lord, save me from myself. Sometimes a church even needs saved from itself. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, as it were. Sometimes we are foolish and unbelieving, even positively wicked and harmful. We get angry soon. We talk and spread gossip. We grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. And we do harm to ourselves. We hurt ourselves. There is a disease of the body where it turns on itself, where the immune system attacks that which is good in the body. And there are churches today, and they're tearing themselves apart. And they're doing themselves harm. And the Lord Jesus has taught us in another context, but the saying is true, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Lord, save us. Save us from ourselves. Save us from disunity. Save us from fighting and bickering. Some such churches need prayed for. And such saints who are harming themselves need prayed for. Lord, save thy saint. Save thy child who's coming in danger of being so bitter. Save and deliver thy saints from these things. But God's people also need blessed. For it says, and bless thine inheritance. And his blessing is upon his people. The Lord does and will bless his inheritance. David knows this. He's asking for something that's sure to be answered. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There are blessings for you and for God's people. All the blessings of God. But they have to be prayed down. They have to be asked for. And God's blessing is what makes us prosper, isn't it? God's blessing is that which gives us the growth. And we need it in all aspects of our life and in all aspects of our society. Take land and farming. All the work is done. All the plowing and the sowing and the watering. But God's blessing alone gives the harvest and gives the increase. It's the same with the medicine that we take for our bodies. And even the food that we consume, these things will not benefit the body. Not even food would benefit the body without the blessing of God. We need God's blessing. And the saints need it. The same with work and business. It's only the blessing of God that can prosper it. And prosper it in such a way that it does you good in your soul and not harm. The Lord knows how to bless us. He knows how to bless us with riches. He knows how to bless us with poverty. He knows what we need for our souls. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. You know, riches may be a curse rather than a blessing. And so the psalmist doesn't pray for riches. He doesn't just pray for prosperity that can be measured and numbered in material terms. No, Lord, your blessing. Your blessing on their heart. Whatever brings that, Lord, we need that. The blessing of the Lord. And God's people are blessed. They're not cursed. Thank God for that. Christ was made a curse for us and has taken it all away. We're not a cursed people. We're a blessed people. Balaam saw that. They are blessed. The Lord knows how best to do it, and he will do. But we have to pray. We have to pray for God's blessing upon us in everything that we put our hand to. These spiritual blessings. Blessings that will make you nearer to the Lord. Blessings that will make you more like the Lord. The blessings that will cause your heart to be filled with love for the Lord. Blessings that will make you spiritual. Blessings that will make you in your heart kind and loving and not bitter and hard and callous and malicious. And so I'm talking not about outward blessings and prosperity and a shriveled up bitter heart, but I'm talking about the blessings that lead to growth in grace and likeness to Jesus Christ. How God's people need that. The spiritual showers from his gracious presence. Revival, blessing, conversion of souls, and the sanctification of the saints. Pray for one another. Lord, bless your flock. Bless your people, Lord. Bless them with the times of refreshing from thy presence. It thirdly says God's people need faith. And he is mighty and willing to do it. For he is the Lord our shepherd. As I said, this is a shepherd's word. We might paraphrase it, be their shepherd. Lord, you are their shepherd, but be their shepherd in your actions and in your deeds. Feed them. Do what a shepherd should do for them. Guide them. Protect them. Hedge them. Discipline them. Correct them. Use a rod upon them. Whatever, but Lord, shepherd them. Just feed them and bless them. This is a great prayer. Now, David is a shepherd. And of course, he is a pastor. And he has a pastor's heart. And he tries to do the task of a shepherd. But ultimately, he knows, Lord, you're the one that has to do it. You have to shepherd your people, Lord. Feed them. And so he prays. He doesn't just say, Lord, I'm going to go out here and feed them. Bless it. No, Lord. They are looking to you, and I am looking to you, and Lord, you must feed your flock. The Lord is so good, he does give under shepherds. And part of his job as a shepherd is to delegate under shepherds. And he does promise that. I give you pastors and teachers according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And you are so blessed as a congregation for 45 plus years to have that unbroken, being fed by faithful pastors. So we bless the Lord for that. The food that provides the guidance and the discipline and the protection and the nourishment is the Word of God. The green pastures of Holy Scriptures, the table of the apostles and the holy prophets. It is from this table that the Lord feeds us. Did not Peter say to the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you? And Peter himself was commissioned thus, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Three times he received that commission. And the pastor seeks grace to do this. And you must pray for your pastor that he may obtain all the divine help to be able to do so. But as I say, ultimately, it is the great and good and chief shepherd that we look to feed our souls. And so feeding is so important, because it is only by that means that you will grow in grace. It is only thus that you will become like the Lord Jesus and become godly and become strong, whereby you shall be able to overcome all the snares of the wicked one. And when you come together, pray this for yourselves. Pray this for all our churches. Feed thy flock, Lord. Pray this when you turn to Scripture. Feed me, Lord. You know, there are some congregations and saints in parts of the world, and they're famished. They're crying out for pastors and preachers. They're without meeting places, even some of them. And they're saying, pray for us. Pray for us that we'll be fed. And this is a prayer you can pray for people you've never met or never known among God's saints who are so needy. Lord, feed your people wherever they're found. They're struggling in Iran. They're struggling in North Korea. They're struggling in the Islamic nations and the Islamic world. They're battling, Lord. Lord, feed your people. Feed your flock. This is something we can pray all the time. God's people also need lifted up. Lift them up. The sense here is bear them, carry them, sustain them. You know, God's people get down. We become discouraged, even depressed. But he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. He'll lift them up. He'll gather the lambs with his arm. He'll carry them in his bosom. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He can carry you, child of God. But ask him and pray this for the struggling saints. There are feeble saints today. There are sick saints. There are some saints, and they wonder how they can even carry on today. There are some saints, and they've got to the place where they say, I can't go on. I've reached my limit. I am so low, I can't arise. There are saints as low as that. In fact, David said on one occasion, I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to stop, Lord. I'm ready to give up, and my sorrow is continually before me. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But if he has a wounded spirit, who can bear it? There are saints with wounded spirits today, and they need prayer. And there's only one who can carry them. Only one who can sustain them. Only one who can raise them up with those everlasting arms that are always under his flock. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, God says, you're born by me from the belly. You are carried by me from the womb. He's able to lift you up. He bore them and carried them all the days of old. This is a prayer God hears for his people. Now there are saints and you can't do much to help them and you feel so powerless. But you can pray. Have a heart. Pray, Lord, lift them up. Lord, let thine everlasting arms be underneath them and cause them to feel they're raising up. Sustain them. Carry them. Lord, don't let that poor, struggling, sick soul faint. Lift them up, Lord. Hold them up above the waters that are flooding in, that seem to be overwhelming him. But Lord, lift them up. Lift them up. Notice the last word. Forever. For ages. Every day, Lord. All their days. Right into eternity itself and beyond. Forever, Lord. Lift them up forever. In fact, we may identify the word forever with all the four things. Because these four things are a package. They're inseparable. All of these things are needed. The whole package. One cannot be omitted. No child of God could do without any of them. We cannot be without God's salvation. We cannot be without God's blessing. We cannot be without God's feeding. And we cannot be without his sustaining grace carrying us all the way. That is why the congregations are there, as it were. These words, these four things are nailed together, as it were, with that conjunction. You have there, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, that's another conjunction, and lift them up forever. They're all nailed together. All of these things, Lord, forever. Forever. The forever belongs to them all. Save them forever. Every day, Lord, till you bring them to glory. Bless them forever. Feed them forever. Sustain them and lift them up right into eternity. Don't stop, Lord, until they are in glory. And even in heaven, it shall be continued unabated. Eternally saved. Eternally blessed. Eternally fed and led on to living waters. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them on to living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's what God does for his people forever and ever. Eternally lifted up to the heavenly glory. To be with the great and good shepherd. Forever and ever, and to dwell in the house of the Lord evermore. This is the hope of God's people, that he has given to them through grace. To his name be praise.